Chinese President Xi Jinping added his voice to the conflict in Ukraine today, meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin before the opening of the Beijing Olympics. The leaders issued a joint statement opposing the expansion of NATO, and it came shortly after American officials claimed Russia was preparing to create fake videos of Ukraine attacking Russia to use as a pretext for invasion. So let's touch down now in Ukraine with NPR's Joanna Kakissis. She's in Kyiv. Joanna, welcome.
I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, so a big moment between President Xi and Putin. How important is it for Russia to have Vladimir Putin standing side by side with the Chinese president? How does it strengthen his position?
Well, you know, China obviously is a major superpower, and if Putin does invade Ukraine and the West imposes tough economic sanctions, you know, China's going to be the one that's going to help Russia ease that pain and help Vladimir Putin's standing, obviously, with the Russian people. China is a bit of a lifeline right now for Vladimir Putin because he's isolated himself in so many other ways. And he, at this point, he can really only look east for help.
Another story I wanted to ask you about was this false flag story. Pentagon said that Russia is planning to stage a fake attack by the Ukrainian military, which would then create a rationale for an invasion. And U.S. officials are saying that it includes Russia producing just very graphic video with actors involved, false explosions, Western-style military equipment. Does this sound plausible?
Whether it's plausible or not isn't, I guess, really the point. But I think there are a couple of reasons why the U.S. is doing it. One reason is to deter Russia from actually making moves like that, actually doing something that would cause a war. So I guess they're thinking about possible scenarios in which Russia could use a pretext to invade or to start fighting. But the problem with, you know, with things like, oh, this video or anything being discussed right now is that the U.S. isn't providing a whole lot of evidence. But again, it's more of a deterrence measure than anything, because we also don't know what Russia is going to do. All we know is that these troops have been here for a very long time. Russia isn't amping it down. So the U.S. Has to put at this point pretty much everything on the table, even though it isn't providing much evidence for it.
It seems like every day a new world leader is getting involved here in the diplomatic negotiations.
Yeah.
This week, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan was in Kyiv. He was promising economic support to Ukraine and the expansion of a Turkish facility that makes military drones. Tell me about that and what international support, what kind of difference it makes when people like the President of Turkey come to Ukraine.
So one of my colleagues said that the daily appearance of world leaders here is like Ukrainians are looking at it like, oh, it's kind of like the weather report. There's so many people coming in. It's a different person every day. So Turkey is a member of NATO, and Turkey has presented itself as something of a broker between Ukraine and Moscow. So Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan reiterated his offer to host a summit between Kyiv and Moscow. But the issue with the Turkish drones and the statement that Turkey made about Crimea being Ukrainian, part of Ukraine, that doesn't really win Erdogan much support from Moscow. So it is important that, you know, somebody like Erdogan, who is a member of NATO, is adding his voice. But he is seen as somebody who is not exactly an impartial player in all this.
Finally, Joanna, what are you learning there in Ukraine that helps you better understand this conflict, which now has been dragging on for many weeks? There's no real sign of resolution anytime soon. What's your reporting telling you?
Well, I mean, you walk around Kyiv and it's just life as usual, you know. The threat of Russia here in Ukraine is not new. Yes, there are people who are learning how to fight. They're learning how to protect themselves in case of an explosion. Schools are holding drills so kids can learn how to protect themselves. But people are still living their lives. People are ice skating. They're making borscht. You know, they're telling me about making borscht or inviting me to their houses to have borscht. Mm. I met a wonderful group of these elderly power walkers, or all these women in their 70s and 80s. And, you know, I danced with them. They made me an honorary member of their power walking group. I talked to a couple of them, including their coach, whose name is Alexander Shimko. Let's listen to a little bit of what he has to say here. Alexander is saying that, you know, Ukrainians should actually be really grateful to Vladimir Putin because his actions are uniting Ukrainians like nothing ever before. And he said that, you know, nothing unites Ukrainians more than a common threat. So they're all like, we're all together, we're all holding hands, and we're all dancing in the park. And then right next to him was this, it was 73-year-old Antonina Yerevikova. And she's actually Russian and came to live in Ukraine about 50 years ago. And here she's telling me, in Ukraine, you see all sorts of nationalities. It's a country that tolerates everyone, and that's why it's worth defending. And then after she finished standing up for Ukraine, she went back to dancing with her friends. Like, it was the best day in the world.
Wow, quite a scene. NPR's Joanna Kakissis in Kyiv. How was the borscht, by the way?
It was really good.
All right, Joanna, thanks so much.
You're welcome.